chose to speak, and we encourage you to remain with us for the rest of the day if you like. We'll close our public comment period now, and we'll move on to our second agenda item, which is a discussion of the future land use element. And as usual, I've run over my time here on the public comments, so I would like you to do your introductory thing, and we'll talk some, and then we'll see where we land time-wise. We'll try to catch up.
Sure, I agree. I have a presentation. We'll do similar to what we've done at the last meetings.
Okay.
We'll go through the existing elements. We'll go through goals and objectives. I'll throw some more mud on the wall with strategies. We'll go through those. And then we can really start digging into the future land use map, taking a look at some of the areas. And this discussion today is the first discussion on future land use. I think we all anticipate there'll be at least another workshop, maybe another one after that. So this is really the first discussion to start looking at future land use in the direction that the county wants to move with it. Okay. Sorry. Okay, so in your 2008 comp plan in the future land use element, it has a small discussion on existing land use and a copy of the existing land use map. It lists out the incorporated municipalities. It has a map of developed and protected lands, which you've seen before in these presentations. It talks about the pace of development, so the building permits, which we've talked about at previous meetings. It talks about location development. It has some future land use plan goals. It talks about the structure of the future land use plan. It defines the different categories for what are growth areas versus rural areas. It defines the Delaware strategies for state policies and spendings. It has a future land use map, which we'll be talking about today. And then it gives a brief overview on several other land use topics, which really tie into some of the other chapters. These include TDR, ag preservation, resource protection programs, manufactured housing, community design guidelines, and eligible open space. And all of those you'll see tie into other chapters. Okay, so I repeat, some of this is a repeat of what you've seen before, but I think it's a good framing of what we're going to be talking about today. So for all of you in the audience as well, the future land use plan is the most influential part of the comp plan. It designates what parts of the county are intended to be growth versus preservation areas. And these different areas influence the state policy on growth management and how the state allocates infrastructure spending. In your 2008 plan, you have several different growth area categories, and then everything else is considered rural areas. So these are your low-density areas, your AR1 zoning, your protected lands, and your ag preservation districts under the state program. This is your 2008 comp plan future land use map with several layers over top it, which we'll be talking about today. So the categories in your 2008 plan, the first under the growth area classification is town centers. So what these are usually part of municipal future annexation areas. They have a range of different housing types from medium to high density, generally 4 to 12 units per acre, and also commercial and retail complementary adjacent uses are permitted in this area. The next is developing areas classification. So these are generally newer or emerging growth areas located near main roads. Also, they're located within future annexation areas. They have the potential to be served by water and sewer. And housing range in this category is generally 2 units per acre, with the option for density bonuses to go up to 4 units per acre. Okay, your ESDA, that is an overlay. So your underlying density prevails in this area. And the way this was framed in the 2008 comp plan were that this was the desirable locations for new housing. They contain ecologically important wetlands and coastal lands. There's a range of different housing types. And you have the option to net out tidal wetlands when calculating net tract size in these areas. The next category under growth areas is mixed residential areas. These are existing residential development lands where residential development is proposed under the GR and MR zoning districts. Generally, non-residential development is not encouraged in this classification. Densities range from 4 units per acre for single-family homes to 12 units per acre for multifamily, and central water and sewer is preferred in this area. The next growth area is highway commercial. These are generally along highway commercial corridors and aimed for shopping centers, other large commercial uses such as hotels, motels, car washes, lumber yards, etc. Planned industrial is the next growth area, and this is where larger industrial uses are targeted, including heavy industry. And then everything else is under the rural areas classification, and this includes your AR1 zoning, your protected lands, and the ag preservation districts. Just a clarification on the difference between future land use and zoning. So it's really the county regulations, your zoning, that carries out the future land use plan. So these planning areas that I just talked about are not zoning districts. In fact, these areas might have more than one zoning district under them. It's your zoning ordinance that contains the detailed regulations on how you implement your future land use plan policies on development and conservation. And you've seen this before. This is from the 2008 plan. It's a nice little cheat sheet which lines up the different growth and rural classifications for future land use with applicable zoning districts that would line up with them. This is your 2016 zoning. You can see everything that's the light gray is AR1. So you have a lot of undeveloped agricultural land in the county, which we'll talk about in a few minutes. So in 2008, in the comp plan, these were some of the guidelines that were used to determine the future land use. Proximity to an incorporated municipality or municipal annexation area was looked at. The presence of existing public sewer and public water service was looked at. Plans by the county to provide public sewage service within 5 years was also looked at. Proximity on or near a major road. The character and intensity of surrounding development, including proposed development. Location relative to major preserved lands. The area's environmental character. And then how the area ranks according to the Delaware strategies for state policies and spending. So not every single one of these was used in every single area, but this generally was the guidance. And I believe some of you on the Planning and Zoning Commission were part of this process back in 2008, so you can attest to how you went about this process.
I think one of us was.
One of you, okay. So generally in 2008, given looking at all those different things, the major changes had to do with changing lands that were in annexation areas of municipalities, may have been changed to a different category, such as a developing area or a town center. If there were larger zoning map changes that were approved since the previous comp plan, that would affect the future land use category, a change may have been made there. And then it appears that there were some new developing areas that were added as part of the last update. And these were intended to provide locations where density might be increased from the current zoning if the developer uses a density bonus option. So those were the major changes last time and how the process was done. We have a clean slate this time. We can follow the same process. The sky's the limit on how we want to approach it this time. So today, we're here to begin this discussion with you. Just a little background on some of the different things we'll be looking at today. So I know Hans will be here this afternoon, but we do have the county wastewater service areas on the map, and there's existing sewer districts. Those are the areas where service is provided by the county currently, and private wastewater service providers are regulated in these areas. We have the county planning areas. These are areas where the county has conducted planning activities, and they plan to eliminate septic or serve future development and growth in the future. The This is the map of the sewer districts and sewer service areas. So the yellow is the existing county sewer districts. The green is sewer planning areas where the county intends to provide sewer in the future. And then the pink is the municipal sewer districts. So these are wastewater service providers in the county, some towns, some private. These are areas that have received CPCNs. And on the same page, here's water service areas in the county and the different providers. In case you're not familiar with the Delaware strategies for state policies and spending, the purpose of this is it's done every 5 years by the state, where they intend to help coordinate local land use decisions with state decisions made about funding infrastructure. So this would be, you know, schools and roads, et cetera. The level one category, this is the area where the state intends to use its spending to promote well-managed, well-designed new growth and redevelopment. Level two areas, the state intends to use spending and management tools to also promote well-designed development in these areas, more of a variety of housing types, user-friendly transportation systems, open space, recreation, public facilities. So moving out from that is level three. Sorry for all the text on these slides. I tried to highlight some of the key points. Level three, so these are not necessarily more longer-term growth areas. They're often in the midst of rapidly growing areas near level one or level two that are impacted by natural resources, ag preservation, or other infrastructure issues. And in Sussex County, often much of ESDA is level three. And then level four is the area where the state pretty much wants to discourage additional development in these areas. And here's the map of the state strategies for policies and spending. So those level one areas are around the towns, and you can see concentrically in rings, it sort of moves out from there in terms of those levels and growth and spending.
Just a quick comment on that. I'm just sure. Sitting there watching and thinking of, you know, land use applications we've had in the past. And I recognize what state the one level one, two, three, and four do, you know, and obviously level one, that's where the state says growth's appropriate, and level four, that's where they say it's not. Mm-hmm. And we get those comments in plus. It seems to me at some point, because I realize this is going to be sort of the first attempt at future land use, but at some point it would be interesting to see, have somebody from the Office of State Planning Coordination or somebody come and say, all right, well, level one, this is what we've actually done. You know, where they say they want to direct funding and they want to direct appropriate infrastructure. You know, I just think back to a lot of the land use applications that we've had where, you know, that's what the state has said, but then, you know, we see that the developers have to pay for all the roadway infrastructure, you know, the developers have to pay for the county sewer to be run. I would just be curious in this to see what actually is the result of something being in level one from the state's perspective. I mean, I think that would be a useful tool.
I think it would be very useful because it's very clear to me level one is Newcastle County.
You know, and there, but there's level one that's around Sussex County, and you know, and the state says, well, okay, this is where it should go. We never hear the end of that story. We hear the first chapter of it, but we never hear how it plays out.
That would be very good information if it's available. I would like you to obtain it. If it's available, if the state will.
We will ask it.
Give you that information.
Specific examples of,
yeah,
you know,
yeah,
what it means.
It would be nice
to
see what's actually been done. This has been the great struggle for the entire time I've been on the commission, has been getting the state highway folks to do what we need them to do for Sussex County. And I know that sometimes the attitude has been, well, it's the state, there isn't anything we can do about it. But we need to be proactive in our planning process and then say to the state, all right, this is what we see, and this is where we see you fitting in. This is where we need you to spend some money. And perhaps they could take that into consideration when they're establishing their their strategies and policies for state spending, rather than the other way around.
And I don't mean that comment, Mr. Wheatley, that mine anyway is a criticism in any way. It's more that we get that information up front in the process, and maybe there's, you know, investments being made, maybe not, but we don't ever see whether there is or not. And I think that would be a useful tool to see how it plays out.
It would be enlightening.
Yeah. Sorry, didn't mean to interrupt.
No, that's fine. Right. Yeah.
We'll reach out and get that information.
I realize that you're pretty much limited to asking for it. Hopefully you'll get it. Yeah.
Okay. This is the map showing DLDOT's transportation improvements proposed for the future. Unfortunately, DLDOT couldn't be here today, but they will be listening to the audio. So if there are questions specifically about some of their proposed improvements, we can relay those to them, and they will be able to get back to us. But this is information they provided for us to use today.
Good.
Okay, so in thinking about the future land use for the 2018 plan, things that we should start thinking about. Are there lands in future annexation areas for municipalities that should be reclassified into a different land use category now? So we can zoom in and take a look today at the different areas where there may be a bit of a discrepancy, where the annexation area doesn't necessarily align with a town center or developing area like it traditionally did for the 2008 plan. Were there any zoning map changes that were significant since 2008 that contradict a future land use category? Are there areas now that should be considered new developing areas by the county where you are seeing new growth happening through the Planning and Zoning Commission and all the work that you do? Does one commercial classification for future land use still make sense? You've all seen the presentation on that. We can talk about that more today. It's just some things to think about. Okay, I know you've seen these slides several times. So I will go through them very fast, but just again to frame the discussion today. So we need to think about, you know, long-term planning and the 2045 population. We've talked about this before. According to population projections, there is predicted to be about over 46,000 people expected to live in the county by 2045. And Marty, we are working on the temporary resident situation that we talked about before too. So we have some leads. We have some leads on that.
Well, in the interim, can you use my 150,000 person population estimate?
Okay, you've seen this before. So the red is your developed land currently. Protected lands, so everything else is either farmland or undeveloped. So that's the land that's in play if you are starting from scratch and not, you know, thinking about redevelopment. So in talking about trends, we talked about this before. According to building permits, you can see building permits have been going up since 2008.
Did we ever find out why that big jump was in 2012?
I didn't, but I can check.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can just look in the data.
That's such a
for
commercial square footage. It's not important really in the comp plan, but it's just such a
we can check
big,
that out.
You know, angle right there.
So these are just some trends, and you don't have to agree with them. And if you don't agree with them, you can let me know. But this can help frame the discussion today. But these are some trends based on conversations with the towns or conversations with the Planning and Zoning Office or their comp plans and annexation areas, what's been going on. Seaford generally has been trying to revitalize the downtown. There's potential for new growth with a new downtown development district and some new apartments that are going in. Del Mar generally has been growing south. It's often a commuter shed for Seaford and Salisbury. Laurel's been trying to grow, but the growth has been slow. There's potential for it to grow east, focusing on revitalizing the downtown as well. Blades has recently annexed some land to the east and is also growing. Greenwood and Bethel, growth has been slower there. Bridgeville, Route 404 is becoming an important corridor between Delaware and Maryland. And these are in the western part of the county. In the east, I think we talked about this before, Route 30 has... At least we've heard it's become the new divide between the coastal eastern Sussex and western Sussex, whereas that boundary used to be Route 5. Milford, You all know about the hospital going there, so there's likely future development occurring around that. And as a result, potentially Milton may see some development spread down toward them. Ellendale has some limited capacity due to sewer, so growth may be limited there. With Georgetown and the airport, there's potential for growth there. Expanding also west on Route 18 and 404, but not really east on 9. Millsboro growth has been taking place. Most likely this will occur along 113 and north of 24 as a result of a new sewer line. Dagsboro, Frankford, not seeing as much growth. Selbyville, there may be some more growth, but sewer capacity is limited in the ability to expand currently. Millview and Oceanview already have sewer, so there may be some new growth on the north side of 26. And then some of the other coastal towns like Lewis and Rehoboth are pretty built out, and they're pretty landlocked. So we may not be seeing as much pressure there for expansion.
When you say expansion, you're talking about annexation? Or just,
yeah. Into and we're looking at the unincorporated areas.
Was there much discussion about their annexation plans or thoughts with the town?
So we have their annexation areas. Okay. I know Janelle and we've been talking to some of the towns, and that'll be continued through the process. But this is just a starting point for what's going on.
Some of them have done some pretty significant annexations in the last 10 years, and I think some of them maybe are working through that. I was just wondering if we were caught up on what their next moves might be.
We've talked to a number of towns. We're working on scheduling a meeting with Milton and Lewis, but we've talked to Laurel, Milford, and we've talked to several other towns. But we're still working through that process to reach out to the towns to discuss.
All right.
And Georgetown actually contacted me this week about talking about their comp plan.
Okay.
Some trends in the unincorporated areas. In the western Sussex, Trap Pond, we've been understanding, is becoming a popular area for residential development, but it's limited because of the situation with the no sewer. In the unincorporated areas in eastern Sussex, there's potential for more town center type development, I believe, coming through planning and zoning from what you've been seeing. I don't know if that's the case or not. And then also there's a new sewer line going down Beaver Dam Road that may spur some new development in the unincorporated areas in the east. So do you agree, disagree with any of these points? This is just open for discussion, some general trends.
Alexis and Dalmar, they annexed a pretty good chunk of property north of town running along Stage Road and 13. In addition, Purdue has announced plans, whether they bring that to fruition or not, of moving their marketing division to a site there. I think that's in town limits. I'm not positive. So I would think that as they expand sewer and those annexation areas, that you're going to see a reasonable amount of growth coming north.
Sure. Yeah, and this afternoon, I think after lunch, we can start looking at the map. And we have a capacity today to actually draw on the map. So we can zoom in and draw. We'll have Hans here, too, to talk about things. So we can make all kinds of notes that we want on the map and then do some more research and come back and do another discussion on land use.
In regards to Trap Pond, I think it was Tidewater that had the CPCN for a large tract of ground there. But when the market dropped, I think that whole thing dropped off, even though they probably still hold. I'm sure they still hold the CPCN. But I haven't heard any additional ambition to follow up on that.
Okay. Yeah, this is exactly what we want to hear from you today.
Yeah.
Okay. In terms of corridors, I think we talked about this before. Route 404 has the potential to become an important corridor. Route 36, it's an evacuation route, and there's pressure to improve it. Route 16, major.
Are you sure that statement about 404 wasn't left over from the 1973 plan?
Pretty much all of those.
Let me assure you, that is absolutely an important corridor between Delaware.
Okay, I'll take the word "could" out.
And okay. If you look at what our neighboring state Maryland is doing on 404, there's going to be a rude awakening when you hit the Delaware line.
Yeah,
because it's dualized from Route 50 pretty much all the way to Delaware.
Okay. And
they're working on it.
And it isn't like that road hasn't been there for the last 70 or 80 years, mm-hmm. you know, but, well.
Actually, Mr. Chairman, all those routes except for Route 36 were in the 1970 plan.
I understand.
Yeah. Okay, so Route 44, scratch the words could become and change to is.
We should plan better, Mr. Chairman.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, we really should. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Okay, Route 16, major corridor from Maryland to Rehoboth. Route 54, active corridor to Ocean City, 2426, active corridor from Millsboro to Route 50 in Maryland, and Route 9, also very active corridor with recent development. Any other corridors?
You forgot about the, you know, I mean, the Milford Bypass has been talked about equally as well since 1970, but I think it's no less important today than it was then.
Okay.
How about Route 30?
I thought the gentleman's comments about spreading out the traffic were kind of interesting. Once again, depends on getting DLDOT to spread out the money.
Mm-hmm.
But it's an interesting concept and something we might want to think about.
I think there's already a plan to try to do improvements on Route 20. Between Georgetown and Millsboro to as a truck route for to access the Mount Air facility. I think that's already on DLDOT's radar.
What route?
It's Route 20, follows Zion Road and goes in that direction towards east of Millsboro, east of the pond.
We also have what Sussex County does, a list every year of roadway improvements, intersection improvements. That would be just a resource to cross. You probably already have it to cross-check with this list, because you know, that's something that county administration and county council works on annually. Mm-hmm. So that would be a good cross-reference.
Yeah, I mean, this is for future land use today.
Yeah.
So we'll have a transportation discussion with DLDOT another time, specifically on the improvements. But in terms of how these corridors might impact growth is really what we're talking
about
today.
I jumped the gun on the air.
That's okay. You always think it
happens. I'm going to jump the gun just a little bit more, just in fairness to our friends at DLDOT. Route 54 has been the subject of a lot of improvements in the last 10 years, and they have spent mm-hmm. some significant money down there along with the developers that are there.
24 as well.
Yeah, 24.
And with the sewer and the Dell Network.
And actually was coordinated reasonably well between the investments that the state made and the investments that developers were required to make were actually coordinated pretty well in both those places. So it can work. I mean, when mm-hmm. it can work.
Okay, so this is just, you know, all the things we just talked about, all those different trends that are going on. Okay. We talked about this before, so another way to think about growth is potentially, I believe, which was the focus of the last plan, targeting around those annexation areas around the towns, and that's consistent with that map we just looked at for the Delaware strategies for state policies and spending. By reducing potential for sprawl, concentrating infrastructure, preserving rural settings. So here in the orange is the municipal annexation areas, and there's over almost 58,000 acres currently in municipal annexation areas in the orange.
58,000?
Yeah. Okay. Okay, we already looked at that. We talked about this. With the trends that have been going on with the building permits, you can see all of the orange dots with the building permits, a lot of the growth has been happening in the east. So something to think about, you know, if that's where the popular area for growth is, you know, is that where you want to keep growth? Okay. And then we also talked about this previously. Another option is to think about those corridors and encouraging mixed-use hubs along those areas that are already receiving development. So some of those major corridors there, connecting some of those towns along the way. Okay, so once again, that's the 2008 plan for future land use.
So when you say keep growth there, Is that coming from the mindset that we really can, as government, control where people want to live?
You can control where people want to live, but you can have a vision. And I think the purpose of the comp plan is to have a vision. And by setting up those developing areas and town centers, you would be saying as a county that ideally, you know, you would like your higher densities around the towns or along the corridors, putting the commercial future land use in certain areas. You would say the county would like to see future commercial go there, and also making sure the underlying zoning would match up with that if you are designating new areas that wouldn't currently be complementary to the future land use is.
I don't think it was intended. The expression keep growth anywhere may sound like to some folks that growth wants to go somewhere else, but we're keeping it here.
No,
we're going to make it stay
that's
here.
Not.
I
yeah.
know that's not what you intended right. to say, and that's why I just want to make sure yep. that everyone understood that there are a lot of forces at work here, not the least of which is the market force that everybody wants to come to Western Sussex or Eastern Sussex. So that's something we're certainly going to have to deal with. In our plan, it's one component of what we have to deal with. We also have, of course, you might expect me to say this, being a Western Sussex County, but I think Western Sussex County is one of the best kept secrets out there.
Be quiet, Mr. Chairman.
I understand. Mr. Ross doesn't want anybody to know. But but the idea isn't that we're going to try to, you know, keep people from living where they want to live.
No, but, it's not that. It's a vision, and
yeah, certainly we need to have some order to it.
Right.
Sure.
Alexis, I mean, we control a great deal about where that growth goes through our infrastructure investments. Mm-hmm. I mean, don't we need to know where Chesapeake natural gas lines are, where our your electric utility lines are, where our high-speed internet availability is? Where
we'll show that.
Sewer and water is.
We have all that. We can look at that.
Because I think looking at the maps without that data and understanding where that's moving or where that infrastructure is likely to expand, and then the maps tend to draw themselves because it's going to follow that infrastructure.
All that's on the GIS that we're going to get.
Yeah, it's on the GIS. I'll show you
what we're getting right now is the history lesson, and we're going to move on. I'm assuming you have all those overlays
yep.
and everything for us today,
yes.
and because you're right, we need all that information before we can make any decisions. Yeah.
So next, before we start looking at the GIS, if this is the order you want to do this, we could talk about the goals and objectives, or we could talk about the future land use and the overlays. I think maybe I intended to talk about the goals, objectives,
Let's
and strategies.
The goals and objectives, and by that time it'll probably be 1 o'clock and it'll be time
okay.
for a break. So.
And then we can start the afternoon
start,
with the discussion. Sure.
Yeah, start
okay.
right after lunch.
All right, so like we've done with the other workshops, let's talk about these one by one. And, we're open to word changes, we're open to deleting, modifying, adding goals, objectives, however you see fit. The first one, manage impacts of future growth and development to better preserve the rural areas of the county. Does everyone agree with that?
Can you hold on one
oh,
second?
Sure.
Just so
I'm going to get myself organized.
Yeah,
okay.
I want to get those so I can mark through them.
No problem.
What are the impacts? Do we have like a list of what those impacts are that we're trying to manage?
Well, I mean, it's a lot of things. It could be conflicting land uses that are adjacent land uses. You have a residential property and a non-residential property. Maybe there's a conflict there. Maybe it's gobbling up farmland or natural resource land. Basically, by using the land use plan to designate these growth versus rural areas, the county is saying its vision for where they would like to see areas remain rural versus areas where growth would ideally be targeted, not directed. So we can talk about the objectives under this while everyone's looking. So directing future growth to the county's incorporated municipalities that desire it and their future annexation areas. Is that an objective of the county as a whole?
I just don't know how you can direct it. I don't like the way the sentence is written.
Okay.
I mean, we need to find a way to accommodate growth or maybe wisely invest some of that infrastructure I was talking about earlier, which would help to encourage growth. But maybe to encourage future growth there would be the way rather than direct. I don't think we can actually direct it.
We can change that to
encourage. But we can certainly encourage it through our infrastructure investments.
And that is the second one, that promoting growth and development in areas where capital facilities and infrastructure are readily available and adequate to support growth.
I would say the fundamental underlying principle of those we already have in the past two comp plans, you know, with the town centers and the environmentally sensitive areas. So, I mean, not so the wording, whatever we do, but the thought behind those.
I think in your second objective, you might want to say are planned or already available.
Okay.
Because if I'm thinking of areas of Blades, for instance, Blades has a major sewer project plan, and it's going forward now. But when folks begin to do their research on where development might take place, where one might want development to take place, they would need to be looking at areas that are on the drawing boards for infrastructure. So I'd like that to say planned or already available.
Okay.
The one thing, Alexis, that confuses things, and especially as it comes to the adequate facilities discussion, is that the county controls certain things and they don't control certain things. And so it's hard to tie the county into requiring or preparing adequate facilities that they don't control. So I think, you know, this is fine in regards to those infrastructure investments that the county has significant control over. But to infer that we have control over, for example, mobility infrastructure, we just don't. We've demonstrated that for the last 50 years. It's been planned for. We just don't control the investment.
But you don't have control of it, but you would know where DLDOT is planning new roads, and perhaps through your future land use plan, you would line up your vision with anticipating, you know, if they're redeveloping a road or if they're redoing a road or doing a major road improvement, perhaps that would impact the development, even though you wouldn't have control over the road improvement yourselves.
Well, I just don't want confusion is what I don't want. And I'm also a bit cynical about trying to trust the plans of the state of Delaware and mobility infrastructure investment. So I don't put much faith in planning on that particular brick in the building.
Marty, are you okay with the word changes to these two objectives, making the first one say encouraging future growth and then the second one with Mr. Wheatley's comment about adding the word planned?
Yeah, I'm fine with that. Okay. I just want to make sure that the public that's interested in it understands that there's certain things we can't control, and I don't want their expectations to be beyond that.
I think Mr. Ross is speaking to the larger issue that really is at the bottom of any discussion of a adequate public facilities ordinance is the fact that we don't control all the facilities.
That's it.
So that's what makes that a difficult task. For what we have here, though, I think we're in pretty good shape.
Okay.
So let's move on.
I just have one comment, too, on the first one, and I'm fine with the way it's worded, but the devil's going to be in the details of that phrase, municipalities that desire it. When we work on the strategies, I mean, the way that's worded there, that almost gives municipalities sort of a veto over, you know, county authority, and I think it should be more of a partnership, but I think that's an area of improvement from the last plan, because we saw, at least the county should consider it, we saw where the plan butted heads with the towns and certain, where our plan and planners said this is where growth should go, and that's good planning, and then, you know, we'd have a room full of people and the town itself coming out and saying, well, we don't want it there. If there's a way we can...
Well, I think in saying encourage rather than direct, and we certainly won't encourage it with municipalities that don't want it, that's the whole thing about being too heavily invested in the town center concept, because there are some municipalities that just don't want to see it. They don't want it anymore. They don't want to have to serve it. They don't want to deal with it. I agree with you. We have to be careful there.
So is the decision to leave the language or
I think that's fine. Like okay. I said, that's more in the strategies and actual how you're implementing
that. Okay, we'll get into strategies.
Yeah, it's going to come. It's going to come when you get further down.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. When you get to the details,
okay,
as you say.
Okay, 1.1.3, discouraging incompatible land uses through enforcement of existing land use controls or through development of new controls where appropriate. So that would be like your zoning.
Yeah, that seems to be a pretty timeless objective.
Yeah.
I think you're always going to want to do that.
There's nothing wrong with putting timeless in there. Okay.
I don't know.
It's already an ordinance.
Yeah, that's what I mean. And we had some testimony from the public today on a very specific issue regarding the poultry house setbacks and so on. And that's an area, I think, that fits in here where things have been changing, and it probably is time to take a look at that again. But that's going to come pretty down in the strategies, mm-hmm. once again. That's going to be further down the ladder. So.
Or even ordinances.
That'll ultimately be even in ordinances. That won't even be a strategy.
Well, the strategy would be to consider an ordinance, and then after the plan is adopted, it would be up to you to develop that ordinance.
Yeah, yeah. Right, and follow it up with an ordinance.
Right.
Yep. That's
okay.
The plan.
All right, some more objectives under this goal. Promoting commercial and industrial development in designated commercial office and industrial areas in the scale, intensity, distance appropriate to adjacent residential neighborhoods. And this just ties back to your zoning once again.
So are we saying we're not gonna lean towards trying to mix when it works?
Mixed
like,
use?
Well, like I live behind Dogfish Head. And that seemed like that's an industrial application, and I open up my back door and can see it, and it seems to be working pretty well. This is promote the separation, right? Isn't that what this is saying? In other words, or am I reading it incorrectly?
Well, but I think the key word is appropriate.
Yeah.
So in that case, it would be appropriate. In other cases, it may not be appropriate.
Okay.
It's really looking at the land use classifications and seeing, okay, what fits where.
And mm-hmm. I think another thing we'll get to is the of really addressing the concept of mixed use. We don't really do that, mm-hmm. but it's becoming a more popular and a more appropriate thing to do.
Yeah.
At some point I'd like us to get there.
Yeah, and that was brought up at the last workshop for economic
development. That comes out of
Sure.
Yeah, and to Mr. Hopkins' point, the way I read that, and again from a land use developer or, you know, consultant side, I interpret that to mean we're going to say this is where it's appropriate, you know, to try to expand it so that, for example, to Mr. Andrews' comments, that we have said that in this area, this is where commercial and industrial and office areas should go, so that you don't have to, you know, pave a new path to get there. And the comp plan says this is where we think it would go because there's sewer, there's broadband, or whatever, you know, so it kind of streamlines the process. It's less about limiting it, it's more about promoting it, you know, saying that there's greater opportunities for people. At least that's how I read that one.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Have you run a pipe from Dogfish to your house?
Directional drill.
That's somebody in that business.
Directional drilled it right in the basement.
You have the ditch witch out, right? In your backyard.
That explains that.
Yeah, right. It's all coming together.
There's an excuse.
Okay, 1.1.5, encouraging redevelopment and infill development in existing developed areas.
That seems like common sense.
Okay,
yeah.
Good. Continuing coordination with and technical assistance to public and private entities acquiring open space, farmland easements in low-density rural areas.
What would be an example of that?
I think technical assistance. So, Janelle, what are some things that your office does?
Ag preservation,
You know, reaching out to the Department of Ag. I know we've got the next meeting, a new ag preservation district on the, coming before the commission. So continuing to work with that, making sure that, you know, when they're looking at places, that they're in logical areas, and just continuing to work with that and providing technical assistance, providing the right information when a person comes in and they have questions. Yes. So we're providing the right information so they have the right contact.
Curious, is it an actual new one or an expansion of an existing?
It's a new one.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Normally when a new one starts, it'll people will add on to it because takes a certain critical mass to get a new one, but once it's established, you can add on to it.
I could be wrong, it could be an addition, but I know they need Planning Commission consideration.
Yeah,
so
it's probably a new one.
Okay. Next goal, ensuring quality growth and development by planning and developing county infrastructure and services to complement state and local planning efforts. As an overarching goal, objectives under this, engaging in planning that considers the efficient location of public services, including but unlimited to schools, libraries, health and medical facilities. Okay. 1.2.2, coordinating land use decisions with Delaware strategies for state policies and spending.
Actually, why don't we have them coordinate with us?
Yeah.
Yeah, I get it.
Okay.
I would just, instead of coordinate, just put consider, given the track record of the state investment.
Consider.
The first word, just change it
just
to
change
consider.
That? Okay.
Yeah. Consider.
Okay.
Consider land use decisions.
Because we've always just considered it. It's never
sure.
A driving.
That's right. Just say consider land use decisions in light of the Delaware strategies for state policies and spending.
Okay. Facilitate more intergovernmental coordination efforts so that development and infrastructure expansion take a regional approach rather than a site-specific approach.
You know, I think our intergovernmental coordination as regards to county investments, sewer and water principally, is pretty darn good. In fact, we probably wouldn't have any central sewer if it wasn't for that intergovernmental coordination, which originally started, I don't know, 20 years or more ago, and trying to get on-site septics off on-site septic and on central sewer. And that was all because of intergovernmental coordination. So, you know, my opinion would be that we're doing a pretty good job
For sewer, but do you think it could be done better for, I think the relationship and the work with DLDOT is getting better and better, so.
You know, we've had a good relationship with the state and DLDOT. You know, that relationship, and I think that's been misrepresented. I think we've had a good relationship with DLDOT. Unfortunate thing, everybody blames DLDOT, but, you know, DLDOT has a budget set by the General Assembly and the governor, and they're only allowed so much money to spend, and so their hands get tied. It's not been a relationship issue. It's been, you know, a financial issue of how much money they've been provided to carry out what everybody's planning.
In terms
for.
Of planning,
I think this can also reflect into, like, the towns that we've been reaching out with some of the towns, because I know, like, some of them have big development going on, so how do we...
So you're talking about sewer and water with the towns. Now, I've had, well, I agree.
And I'm not even... Yeah. We can be beyond sewer and water. We can be talking about land use. We can be talking about transportation. We can be talking about a bunch of different things, not just sewer and water with respect to
infrastructure.
Well,
in that case, let's be more specific and talk about intergovernmental coordination between the incorporated municipalities. If that's what we're talking about, let's make sure.
Well,
that's
I think
clear.
It covers a lot of. It's a very broad.
Maybe split it into two then.
Yeah. Divide it up or something. And I'm not trying to beat up on the state any more than is factually supported, but I just want clarity in what it is we're meaning. The second, what Janelle just said, I totally agree with. The first, I just don't know what else we could possibly do.
Okay, so maybe it's two, changing this to continue intergovernmental coordination efforts, everything else the same, and then a second one for facilitating more intergovernmental coordination with the towns on land use planning.
to me, that's the one that needs to, and it's not from Sussex County, because whenever there's a land use application, you know, we reach out to the towns and the town managers. Certainly there's some that have some notoriety that everybody knows about with towns, and the towns have given an opinion, but for the most part, we never actually hear back from the towns. Or they come in and talk about, at the last minute, their annexation area, you know, and it potentially jams up somebody that wants to move forward with a project. We've seen that with some towns as well. And you get this letter from the town that sort of nobody saw coming. And so I like that, splitting it out, because I think mm-hmm. we need to promote the towns coming to us more with better information, us meaning the county, with better information.
Yeah.
I don't know, because we've seen examples of that over.
We have.
Yeah.
And you know, and then the issue is, of course, is, you know, do the towns have a tax and a regulatory environment in which property owners want to be annexed? You know, sewer and water has always been the cornerstone to that request. I don't know, it's certainly not the only consideration, but it's a major consideration. And I think we can actually have conversations with the towns where if they would do more of that permitting by right as opposed to what we currently have in the county, that would be as significant as sewer and water and getting property owners to request annexation.
Yeah, and just be more proactive instead of reactive a lot of times.
Yeah, I mean, you look at Middletown is a great example of that. They are just growing gangbusters, but the way they did that was they planned for that growth. They invested in that growth with sewer and water and roads, but they zoned those parcels with the permitted use. And that's why the Amazon Distribution Center is in Middletown today, because they could go from speed to market was less than 6 months for Amazon Distribution Center. Unheard of. You could never do that in Sussex County. So municipalities can copy that, mm-hmm. can copy that much easier than the county can.
We could do that in Sussex County.
Yeah, we could.
But it's going to take a shift in the attitude and the thinking.
Yeah. Yeah.
But it absolutely can be done here. That works in Middletown, because when something good comes along, they are trying to facilitate it within the law. They're not bending the rules, they're not letting people get away with anything, it isn't anything like that. But they are helping them find a way to do what they want to do instead of throwing up roadblock after roadblock and telling people why you can't do things. And there isn't any reason why government can't be that way. Certainly we have to have a certain amount of regulation, we have to have land use, we have to have laws and ordinances that protect everybody's interests. But once that's in place, let's help people get where they want to go. Everybody sitting in here, help them get where they want to go.
Okay. So we're going to break that one up into two. Objective 1.2.4, pursue planning measures that provide a means for financing and constructing public improvements and community facilities. We may want to change it to consider, and this can mean a lot of different things, which we can talk about in strategies when we get to that.
Well, I guess before we consider it as an objective, what would be some of the strategies? Just so I understand what
I mean, it could range the gamut, special development districts, impact fees, a lot of different things. So
then definitely change pursue to consider.
That's what I'm thinking too.
Different zoning classifications.
Yep.
It could be a lot of different things could happen in this.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Or even just working with, you know, could be networking with other groups or organizations. It's a lot of different things this could fall into.
I think that objective had its origins in the sewer business, in trying to find a way to make sewer happen faster. This was 2008, remember. It was 2006.
But
these are all new. Yeah. There were no
this
goals.
This wasn't in the last plan?
Nope. This is all new stuff that we
sounds
came up
like
with
something
based
that should
on.
Have been. Sounds like something that was.
Yeah, this is all based on everything up to date, all the input research, the focus groups, the public input, everything we used to come up with these goals and objectives.
Okay.
So this is all new. So keep it for now. We can always come back to it.
Oh, no, keep it.
Okay.
It's fine.
Okay.
It's just
all
that
right.
There's nothing to
consider,
got it.
Though,
yep.
Apparently.
As I was reading, I'm like, oh, we should probably change this to consider. Okay, goal three. Identify and designate future development areas in a manner that protect the county's natural and cultural resources. So under this could be objectives such as protecting natural and cultural resources from the adverse impacts of development, as outlined in the conservation and historic preservation elements. So a lot of these, land use is a common theme throughout the whole plan. So a lot of this ties into those other chapters. You'll see the play between the chapters. So this is just sort of a homage to other chapters.
No, I think it's fine.
I mean, to some, like our environmentally sensitive development district applies to that. My only thought would be that this is one that we ought to put a star by because we're talking about two other elements that we don't have. You know, we ought to come back and even with the strategies, I would think that would almost be one where we
depends on the, what happens with the other.
I would agree with that. But what this does, though, is it does highlight the importance of those two elements because standing by itself, for instance, historic preservation may not sound like such a big deal, but this is where it fits in.
You tie it back to land use and development.
This is where it fits in. So I think it's important. And it is going to be important to come back and revisit this once the conservation and historic preservation elements have been fleshed out to make sure that it all still fits.
Right. Okay, so we'll leave it. We'll start. We'll come back to it. 1.3.2, develop incentive-based strategies for preserving environmental areas from development. Do you want to go with consider once again here instead of develop?
Yeah, consider is a better word.
Okay.
This is one I know, Mr. Ross. You had some.
When we get through the conservation, then we'll know.
Yep.
You know, we can if we decide we want to come back to it, we can change it. But you know, I like words that allow flexibility in ordinance development, and that's why a lot of the changes that I and others have been recommending, you know, allows that flexibility when we get to the ordinance development phase. Mm-hmm. So just consider would be great.
Okay. Once again, we might want to change the language on this one, 1.3.3. Ensure that new development incorporates preserved, usable, open space and mitigates for the protection or replacement of environmental resources and subdivision design. Is this too specific?
It is. You have to consider, the box, if you will, of a property, and everyone is a little bit different, like a fingerprint on a person. And I think I mentioned this maybe last week, I'm not sure, but the more specificity you put in how you use that box, right, the less innovative design and less flexibility you have in creating a unique and attractive development. So you have to be careful. It might be desirable and even doable in one particular application where you have a square box and where you have an odd-shaped box or you have unique environmental issues, it can be totally different. So I just think we have to be careful about forcing certain things on developers and then actually encouraging sprawl and low density development in areas that we really would not have it because of the rules. So I'm not sure
Do you have some suggestions on how to tweak this, Marty?
No, I really don't. I think we have in our cluster in RPC ordinances, we actually take care of this already in a way, not to say that they're set in stone because they certainly are not, but I think we have to be very careful about trying to open a door to additional regulatory requirements over and above what we already have.
Would a better way to do it, just to change that word, ensure, to say, or promote new development. You're kind of back to the incentive-based strategies almost, you know.
I'd like to let the developers' imagination run wild. I mean, we have a percentage, and they try generally to make a development that's attractive and sells to the public, and they will be the ones that ultimately decide whether that open space fulfills their desires or not. And so I just don't want to tie, the more innovative site design people's hands.
also promote.
Well,
still keeps it in there as important to the county, but will allow some flexibility.
All right, I can go with promote.
Okay.
I'm not all that disturbed by it. They're going to have, they will have the opportunity to exercise their creativity within the limitations of the ordinance, within within the scope of what's being said here. We at least want to send the signal that preserved usable open space is something that we want to see happen.
Exactly.
The county wants to see happen.
Yeah.
How they achieve it, they should have wide latitude on how they achieve it. I don't want to get in the business of dictating or at being at all prescriptive, but I'm not too disturbed about telling them that we'd like to see it.
Mm-hmm. I guess an example of that would be a development. We're saying we don't want to see a development like a cluster development with such fragmented open space that it's really not a benefit to anybody.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
And it also kind of reinforces the existing code with the cluster and the RPC, that the ordinance actually refers back to something in the comprehensive plan, that those code requirements allows the developer to do that, but we're just saying, hey, the comp plan recognizes that.
Okay, 1.4, minimize the adverse impacts of future development on existing development. Objective 1.4.1, providing for appropriate and adequate lands for the location of all land use types to support future population and maximize compatibility with existing land use. Pretty open-ended. You okay with it? Okay.
Yeah, it's kind of hard to argue with that.
Yeah, right.
It's kind of our job, right? It's sort of our job in a nutshell.
Okay, 1.4.2, ensure that...
That sounds like we're talking about a vision statement
preamble
for each element.
Yeah.
That's almost the one for this one.
Ensure that new development comes.
Adding, business or commercial uses in there, too. But anyway, I'm going to get off the topic.
ensure that new development complements the character of the existing surrounding communities.
I think that's what we do.
Yep.
Yeah, that's fine.
Okay. Okay, and the last goal for future land use, 1.5, maintain the agricultural land base of the county. And some objectives under this could be maintain the amount of land used for agricultural or forestry pursuits.
How can we do that? This sounds like a land grab. Like, I'm sorry, we've decided that this is how much agricultural use we have, and that's how much it's going to be, and if you move your farm, if you sell your farm, that can't be. I mean, how can we maintain the amount of land used for agriculture.
Oh, this speaks like to the issue we had, we're talking about earlier. Yeah, I think the way to maintain farmland, maintain ag lands, is to keep those activities desirable and profitable for people to do. Beyond that, I agree with you. I don't think we can dictate the quantity. It's interesting how that's worded. I don't know that we can maintain the amount of land. But we certainly can
maintain the opportunity for land used for agricultural and forestry purposes.
Just take it out.
I don't see a place for
just
it.
Take
yeah.
it
the issue we have in the balance between development and conservation, and this is more of a conservation element, even though I understand it crosses. We have a plethora of incentives to build. We have virtually no, I'm not trying to discount the Sussex County Land Trust, but because of different issues, its importance is minimal at the moment. We have virtually no incentive to preserve resources. Virtually no, not absolute. And so I think, if you want to maintain a working landscape, and that's what we're talking about, then one, you have to do what the chairman talked about, the viability of the industry, which is value added. We've discussed that as far as adding an ag and industrial district. And two, you have to have some kind of a an incentive-based program that encourages the preservation of natural resources, which there is not one now, at least not one meaningful.
So you'd say pursue the incentivization of maintaining agriculture and forestry pursuits?
Yeah, I think somehow we have to communicate that we have to start thinking about balancing that out.
You could say incentivize the preservation of.
Yeah.
Okay.
Or preserve resources for agricultural uses and purposes.
I don't think, that's just too active a word. You can't zone natural resource protection, at least from the private sector. From the public sector, you can simply buy it. But how much money do you have? So what you're trying to do is you're trying to get the working landscape to give you your cake and eat it too, to give you the food and fiber production, right, and preserve the resource just by being there, which it has done for centuries. And that's what we've been missing in land use. We've had plenty of incentives to build, and that seems to be working quite well on its own. But we don't have any incentives to preserve, and I don't know how we cross that road, but it's one that's vitally important.
Okay, so possibly an objective about incentives for preserving agricultural land?
Yeah, what the heck? Try that.
Yeah, something like that. Yeah.
We'll adjust on the go later, maybe.
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah. We'll get
What about the goal language as itself? Maintain the agricultural land base.
No, you just can't have that active a word.
All right. How would we reward it then? We need a goal to acknowledge that the county wants to, that the agricultural land base is important to the county.
Just say that?
Yeah, that's what I was going to say.
There you go.
Recognize the importance of agricultural land base in Sussex County.
Okay. Okay. So recognize the importance of the agricultural land base of the county. Some objective about incentives for preservation of ag land. 1.5.2, reduce challenges placed on farmers by new development.
I've had neighbors all my life next to my farm, and the only challenge I've ever had is clearing their driveways out when we have a big snow. We just have maybe a friendly neighborhood. I don't know. I haven't had major issues with new development, but I don't live east of 113.
We have the right to farm issues.
We've heard some of it here, though.
We heard one this morning about chicken houses. Then you got to wonder, who's impacting who? I'm trying to play devil's advocate a little bit, but does a new development impact a farmer? Does a farmer impact the ability to develop? I really don't know. I think because we have AR zoning, and we've had it ever since we've had our first land use plan, I mean, that's implicit that residential and ag can coexist. That it doesn't necessarily have to be a compatibility issue.
You can, they do, and they must, because we're a right to farm state.
Yeah.
So I mean, when you move into an area that is surrounded by farms, you can expect to hear it, smell it, and have to live with it. That's just the way it is.
You want to know the number one challenge to us as a farm community by new development? It's getting from farm to farm.
I was just going to say that I've heard so many farmers call me and say, this is way before this, just that, the amount of stuff they have to go through to get, their
crop. Yeah, we literally, when I did farm a considerable amount, I mean, we would actually plan our work day about when we would move from farm to farm. And our favorite time, believe it or not, was Saturday morning between daylight and 9 a.m. because nobody was awake on Saturday morning from daylight to 9 a.m. We could pretty much go anywhere we wanted. But almost every other time, you had to have a trailer truck with a four-way flashers on and still pray that your life wasn't going to be taken.
But it's no different than people who have to plan their trips out on Route 1 in the summer.
Same thing.
They have to plan. They're all planning around, what they have to do. And I don't think,
I don't think we can, I don't view that as
all of it.
I mean, some of my fellow farmers would argue with me on this, but I don't know what too much you can do about it.
Can you make some requirement that, new developments, that everybody comes in there, gets a load, says, by the way, farms stink,
it's on their deed now.
It is in every deed.
Yeah, exactly.
It's in every deed.
Absolutely.
That's why I have so little patience with people that come in and complain about that. My goodness, that's what you bought.
Right.
You bought that. you know, so.
We put it in the contract of sale. If we decide to sell something, it's in the contract of sale and the deed.
Okay, so back to this objective. What is the decision on this objective?
See, let me throw out another angle on that, because Marty talked, or somebody had said about, you know, we have all sorts of incentives for developers, but, you know, to develop, but not so many incentives for farmers to keep farming. That's a challenge in itself, you know, so you could read it that way as well, but anyway.
Well, I mean, the only way, I mean, from what Marty's saying and from what my observations of, it's back to the traffic issue, and, you know, the only way to enforce or to work towards reducing that challenge is don't let anybody else move in here so we keep the traffic down. That's what I, when I read it, that's what I see.
I just can't think of a practical way that you can, yeah. you know, yeah. make that happen. That's my problem with it.
Reduce challenges and create incentives or consider, or just, no.
That doesn't do anything for the challenge. I mean, the challenges are there. They're always going to be there.
Challenge.
Well, but we do have the objective of trying to find a way to make,
okay.
to keep agriculture viable.
But Marty, with the ag business overlay, wouldn't that be offering certain protections to?
Well, I think that would be certain. Yeah.
Yeah. So would that almost be a strategy under this objective because it's reducing the challenges to?
Well, the ag industry overlay is a relatively small portion of that AR zone. These are going to be very site specific
yeah.
parcels for heavier ag industrial uses. So I don't think it plays into it. I mean, leave it in there. I don't think it does any harm, but I just don't see how you can accomplish
that. Yeah, I think you could probably. Yeah, you could. Yeah, you could leave it.
It's maybe the way to do it is to leave it in, and then when we get into the strategies, if
come
we find we're
it.
Not doing well with the strategies, then take it out.
All right, 1.5.3, increase the acreage of permanently preserved farm and forest land in the county.
That's cool, Bob Ray.
Yeah, that's fine. Nothing wrong with that. Not sure how we'll do that.
Yeah,
that's good for an objective.
Yeah.
Figure out, we'll have to address how.
Okay, so that's it for goals objectives. I have strategies next. It's
yeah, we're going to break now. We're going to take a break. We're going to recess for about 20 minutes, enough for everybody. I know we had an 1.5 hour scheduled, but we're about
25. 26. All right.
we will reconvene at 1:45.